Mr. Chair, Excellencies, distinguished delegates. At the request of the chair of this open-ended working group, UNIDIR submitted a working paper titled Existing Legal and Regulatory Frameworks Concerning Threats Arising from State Behaviours with Respect to Outer Space. The objective of this paper is to provide an overview of currently applicable regulations of relevance to space security so as to support this group's mandate to take stock of the existing international legal and other normative frameworks concerning threats arising from state behaviours with respect to outer space, as outlined in section 5.A of UNGA Resolution 76231. This paper and my presentation here today do not seek to be exhaustive in scope, but they nevertheless aim to provide useful background information to assist members of this OEWG in understanding the rich body of laws, rules, guidelines, and principles that regulate the outer space domain and that are relevant from a space security perspective. Firstly, UNIDIR's paper focuses on existing outer space law. The foundation of outer space law, as we saw this morning, is the 1967 Outer Space Treaty. Several of its articles are relevant to space security. Examples of this, as we heard this morning, are Article 3, Article 4, or Article 9, which deal with the applicability of international law in outer space, the prohibition of the placement, installation, or stationing of weapons of mass destruction in space, and the state's duty of due regard, respectively. After the Outer Space Treaty, four other treaties were enacted, and they are also relevant for space security purposes as they develop the principles first introduced by the Outer Space Treaty. Discussions at the multilateral level under the auspices of the UN led to the adoption of several declarations and legal principles, such as the Space Debris Mitigation Guidelines, and to the emergence of the concept of the prevention of an arms race in outer space, also known as PAROS. The latter is particularly relevant for space security, and in recent years, states have pursued two groups of governmental experts. And we heard about the chairs of these governmental experts this morning. Sorry, the groups of governmental experts this morning. The aim of these groups was to advance both legal and non-legal approaches to PAROS. Issues related to PAROS have also been discussed at the General Assembly's first committee every year, resulting in the adoption of several resolutions. In 2021, five such resolutions were adopted, one of them being Resolution 76231, which establishes the creation of this open-ended working group. In our working paper, we also examine other agreements of relevance to outer space security. These agreements, which can be legally binding and non-binding, as well as multilateral and bilateral, regulate activities in outer space, even when the agreements themselves may not concern solely the outer space domain. Examples are the 1963 Limited Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, the 2021 Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, as well as the Hague Code of Conduct against Ballistic Missile Proliferation, and the 2011 New START Treaty. Also relevant is general international law, as we saw this morning as well. Both Articles 1 and 3 of the Outer Space Treaty establish that international law shall apply to outer space, and therefore, beyond the laws and regulations that explicitly mention outer space, it is necessary to consider other bodies of international law when taking stock of the existing international legal and normative frameworks. In UNIDIR's working paper, we look at the following bodies of law. Environmental law. In accordance to the 1972 Stockholm Declaration, states have the responsibility to ensure that activities within their jurisdiction or control do not cause damage to the environment of other states or areas beyond the limits of national jurisdiction. This is closely related to the duty of due regard, as well as the prohibition of harmful contamination enshrined in Article 9 of the Outer Space Treaty. We also analyse briefly the laws of the use of force and international humanitarian law. Of particular note here is Article 2.4 of the UN Charter, which establishes the general prohibition of the use of force. and the only exception to this prohibition is expressed in Article 51 of the UN Charter. As the ICRC will talk more in depth about this, I will just refer to the working paper that UNITA submitted. We also, in our paper, we also talk about air law and law of the sea. The law applicable to both of these domains, airspace and the sea, can serve as useful guidance for outer space. In fact, these domains are often compared to outer space, and their respective legal regimes have served to inform the interpretation of outer space law in multiple locations. The laws applicable to these domains can provide insight to the concept of things like due regard, or the use of signals, the maintenance of communications, and the prevention of collisions. They can also help understand issues relating to sovereignty, jurisdiction, and control. To conclude, I'd like to say that the existing international legal and regulatory framework applicable to the space domain can offer a foundation upon which this OEWG can build its recommendations. UNIDIR's working paper, as well as my presentation here today, sought to provide a useful overview of this framework to aid the OEWG in this endeavour. UNIDIR, of course, stands ready to support this OEWG in gaining further understanding on the issue of space law concerning threats arising from state behaviours. Thank you very much for your attention.